once alienated. The first thing to notice is that it is in our past. You were once, clearly indicating that we are no longer alienated when we become Christians. But what does alienated mean? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It has a similar theme, and I think it answers the question best. It says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of power of the air, and the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." The Colossians were sinners, just like us, and being tempted with worldly pleasures and doing things that were not honoring to God. This was pushing them away from God. The second part of verse 21, the Colossians were hostile in the mind. Being hostile in the mind is also referenced in several places in the Bible. And I'm going to just mention one. That's Romans 8, verses 7 and 8. It says, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for he does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." The Colossians in the past were sinners and wanted to only please themselves. We still fight these urges today, don't we? How many times and how many things do we still seek worldly pleasures, thinking that this will make us happy? How many times have we said, "Oh, if I could only afford this, or if I just had that, boy, that would make me happy"? That's the wrong way to think. What we have to remember is that God provides all of our needs. Anything we need is provided by God, and we need to learn how to be content with that. Does that mean that God does not want us to enjoy things here on earth? Certainly not. But the trick is, we can't put those things above pleasing and worshiping him. Let's go back to verse 21. It ends with the Colossians doing evil deeds. Evil deeds can come in many forms. We again have all been guilty of it. A few examples are telling a gossip story about someone, cheating on your taxes, striking someone in anger, or murder. All of these things are evil and dishonoring to God. Prior to being Christians, this is what we were. So let's get off of that and focus on what we're to do in the present as Christians. Let's look at verse 22. In verse 22, Paul is talking about the good news. Christ has saved us. God sent his only Son to earth to take on flesh, to take on all of our sins. He was here to take on the punishment for the sins that we have already committed and that we will ever commit. Verse 22 says, "He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." Think about this. God knows how sinful and wretched we are. Yet he still loved us enough to send his son to earth in human form to bear the pain, the shame, and the guilt of all of our sins, to die on the cross so that we could be worthy enough to be with him. God knew Jesus would live again, but he also knew the pain and suffering that he would endure before this happened. I'm sure most of you know I have two sons, Joshua and Isaac. I love them with all of my heart. I can't imagine telling them, "Hey, you see these wretched people down here? I want you to go down to be with them and to die for them so that they can be with us. I want you to suffer all the pain and agony you can imagine so that they can live." I can't imagine that. I'm sure their first reaction would be, "I don't think so," or "That does not sound like fun." As their dad, I could say, "You will obey me and do this." But they're not here tonight, so I can admit this. Now, but this cannot leave this room. They've both passed me in height and probably strength. So I don't think forcing them would work so well for me anymore, but you know, just for parents with little one, little boys, don't let that go out of this room, because you don't want to admit that ever. So, but Jesus, God did not have to force Jesus. Jesus did not hesitate. He obeyed his Father, and he died for us. We only have to do one thing to receive this saving grace, and that is to accept him by faith that he is our Lord and Savior. We are to walk in faith with him. The Colossians that Paul was speaking to had accepted Jesus as their Savior. For anyone in here tonight, if you have not given yourself to Jesus, please, I urge you to do it. You will experience his love in a whole new way, and you'll get the peace of knowing that you get to spend eternity with him in heaven. Speaking of heaven, let's talk about the Colossians in the future in verse 23. What does it mean to be a Christian? Look at the first part of verse 23. It says, if indeed you continue in the faith. What is Paul saying here? Is he saying that it's possible to lose your salvation? Can people truly express their love for Jesus and then be turned away later? Paul is not saying this. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It reads, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. We are all still battling worldly flesh and struggling with sin, but we must continually grow and become more Christ-like. For me, I grew up in a loving family and attended church my whole life, but I did not accept Jesus and publicly confess my love for him until I was 16 years old. When I did, I thought my troubles were over, but I was completely wrong. In my late teens and early 20s, I did plenty of things that was not pleasing to God. These years of my life were a low point for me. And I look back and see how far I strayed from what God wanted me to be, and I'm ashamed. But God did not push me away. He brought people and events into my life that pulled me back to him. He truly loves us all. He wants us to grow and be more Christ-like. And when we stumble, which we all do, we need to remember that he's always there for us. If we continue in faith, it is because God has already truly saved us. And if we don't, it is because we were never saved to begin with. Let's go back to verse 23 again, where we left off. It says, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. Well, where is Paul taking us now? Now that we've accepted Christ as our Savior, what does Christ want from us? We've already talked a little bit about this. First, he wants us to be more Christ-like. Secondly, we are to do what the Bible says. He wants us to tell others about him. That mission comes to us in many ways. About 10 years ago, there was an event at this church that changed a lot of lives, including mine. To tell you about this, I need to step back about 12 or 13 years ago. My wife, Tricia, was in charge of the Wednesday night Sunlight children's program called Sunlight Club. Well, she talked me into running the games for that, kids aged 5 to 12. We got to know all of the kids in the church, and one of them was named Johanna Gale. I don't think she was technically old enough the first year that she was there, but she was here because Matt and Kathy were practicing music. She was always in a great mood. She was a joy to be around. And a few years into it, she even wrote a song that we used at the beginning of the session to start the night off. Then I remember the day I got the call that there'd been an accident, and Johanna didn't make it. I was devastated, more than I thought possible. I had experienced deaths of my grandparents and an uncle, but never a child that was 9 years old, the same age as my son Isaac. It was hard for me, And I couldn't imagine how hard it was for Matt and Kathy, and still is. Tricia and I dreaded going to the funeral, as I'm sure many of you did as well. Our kids were very quiet about it, and truthfully, we didn't know how to deal with the pain and questions that they had either. When we arrived at the church for the funeral, it was overwhelming to see how many people were here. But you could just feel the sadness as we sat in the church waiting for that service to start. And then it happened. I don't remember the song that started it off, but it was the most happy, upbeat song I ever remember hearing. This was not a funeral, this was a celebration of life. I couldn't believe how strong Matt and Kathy were. But you see, they knew their daughter knew the Lord, and they knew they would get to see her again someday. That doesn't mean it was easy, but by God's grace, they had the strength. I and many other people had a glimpse of heaven that day. Trish and I got a chance to talk with Matt and Kathy shortly after the celebration of life. And Matt spoke some words of wisdom to me that I want to paraphrase to you because I truthfully can't remember it word for word. But Matt said that God's had a plan for Johanna, that the day she died was her time to be called home. He stated that he and Kathy were extremely sad, but they looked at their Bible and realized that they either needed to live and do what the Bible says in it or to walk away from the Bible. I am certainly glad they helped Johanna complete the plan God had for her. That little girl's short life on this earth has been a huge blessing to so many people and still is. They still have her picture at the shop, and she still brings people closer to God. Just like the recent passing of Pastor Rose, even though we still feel sadness that they're not here with us on earth anymore, we should rejoice in the fact that they are with Jesus in glorious heaven. This is how all Christian funerals should be. It should be a celebration of life. God has a plan for us all. Let's look at Paul himself at the end of verse 23, which has proclaimed in all creation under heaven, in which I, Paul, became a minister. Here is Paul, who was a devout Jew and a Christian hater. He had persecuted many Christians prior to accepting God's calling and stepping out in faith in the name of Jesus. God could have chosen others, but his plan was so wise. So many people knew Paul before he became a Christian. For those people to hear Paul and see his change in his life when he began to follow Jesus, just think about the profound impact that that made. How wonderful is it to follow God's calling in our life and to bring people to Jesus so they can experience that true joy? So where do we go with this information? First, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus personally, you think there is no way Jesus can love you, I want you to remember this. We are all sinners. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned and don't deserve his love, but he still loves us anyway. All you have to do is pray and ask for forgiveness and ask and give your life to Christ. It is so much better than what this world has to offer. The item that we fellow Christians need to remember from these verses is that God has a plan for us. These plans vary so much. Some of us are called to be ministers like Paul. Others are called to be missionaries in a foreign country or a foreign place. And others are called to be right here. But everywhere we are, we should be sharing the good news of the gospel. Jesus wants us to share it with everyone. So your workplace or school or even your home could be your mission field. Always strive to be more like Christ and share this with as many people as possible. You're never too old and you're never too young to be able to do this because it is God's plan and he is there to help you if you're willing to step out in faith and share the gospel. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this night And you thank you for the word you gave us to live by in the Bible. I do pray that if anyone here does not know Jesus, that they take the step of faith and give their life to you tonight. I also pray for the rest of us that we realize even more what a sacrifice you made and how thankful we need to be. I pray that you reveal your plan for each one of us and that you help us accomplish those plans that you have for us while we're still here on earth. Draw us closer to you and help us when we stumble. Thank you again for allowing us to study and learn together tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together. As we close, we're going to be singing Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.